Good evening.
Good evening.
You've had a lot of music tonight, so I hope you're not worn out. But hopefully you like music. My friend always said I had a request, but I'm going to sing anyway. And I did have a request today, and maybe two or three, but some folks asked if I would sing, and I didn't have any soundtrack, so I said, if somebody's got a decent guitar, boy, was that a dumb question for West Virginia. Everybody showed up. I've seen some of the nicest guitars that I've seen in a long time here. Y'all are serious guitar players. I saw a couple Taylors up here and an Epiphone and all of those, but this is a beautiful guitar. But this is a song I wrote some time ago, 4 or 5 years ago. One night I was by myself and at night, late at night, and I said, Lord, I really want to give you something. You're so good. And I don't know what to give you. What do you give the creator of the universe? I mean, he created us. What can we give him? And it's like he said, just all your praise. So I said, Lord, I'll just give you all my praise. All my praise. I give you all my praise. That's all I have to offer you. I now build a sanctuary within my heart, and all my praise I offer up to you. I love you, Lord. Oh, how I love you. I bear my heart and soul to you. I'm an empty, broken vessel filled with hurt and pain inside. Still, I offer. Fill me, Lord. Oh, please fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me now, for I long for your anointing, that I may work for you. Fill me, Lord. Touch me, Lord, just now. All my praise, I give you all my That's all I have to offer you. I now build a sanctuary so deep within my heart, and all my praise I offer. I love you, Lord, I really do. I love you. love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, I really do. My Savior, Creator, Redeemer, and King, you are the reason I sing. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, I really do. I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, I really do. Wow, that's a nice guitar. Thank you for the use of it. Well, I was pretty hard on you this morning. I'm almost apologetic. Almost. But I feel like, you know, the Lord gives you certain things. Now, this morning I had an idea of what I wanted to talk about. I'm not good with notes. I've talked for 30-some, well, talked all my life, really, but my brother told me one time after 3ABN started, I was speaking somewhere, and someone said to him, "Boy, isn't that, your brother can really talk." And he said, "Yeah, you know, I'm really glad all that hot air turned into something." He said, when we were kids, he talked all the time. I sing all the time around the house. And my brothers, I had three older brothers, and they'd say, "Mom and Dad, would you make him shut up?" And my dad would say, "Long as he's happy, long as he's singing, we'll just let him go." And but I've been a happy person all of my life because I've read the back of the book. The back of the book says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? So I really don't make notes today. I'd made a couple notes because I wanted to quote something. So when I quote something, I'm a little out of my comfort zone. But tonight, so I can honestly tell you, I never really know what I'm going to talk about till I stand up but don't leave. That's not necessarily bad. But I'm like a friend of mine, Mae Chung, said. I always said, Mae, she would plan these trips, and she was in her 70s and was going to the Philippines one night. And I called her mom. I said, "Mom, you can't just take off in the Philippines." She called me from the airport. And she said, I said, "You have to plan these things." She said, "Well, son, I used to plan, and I was a good organizer, and I'd always plan, but every time I did, the Lord changed my plans anyway. So now I just go. I don't worry about it." So what I say is, "Lord, when I get up to speak, you tell me what the people need to hear, and that's what we'll talk about." Well, tonight, I was in the back just walking up, and someone told me about a project. Someone was in New Guinea, and I said, "Oh, that's a good subject to talk about, is New Guinea." I want to talk about tonight. I want to continue. I've talked about the blessing is on the go, right? If you want God's blessings in your life, just obey him. Go and tell what he's done for you. That's all he expects us to do, is share our own personal testimony of what God has done for us. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a miracle that happened in New Guinea. I believe in miracles, don't you? Amen. I believe that we serve a God of mighty miracles, and I'm so thankful that I'm able to be a part of a ministry and a church that has a mission to reach the entire world before Jesus comes back. One night I got a phone call. This number of years ago, it was around midnight. I answered the phone, and a voice said in a foreign accent, "Brother Danny, is this a good time to talk to you?" Well, it was midnight, right? And I said, "Well, it's very late." I said, "It's midnight." And I said, "Couldn't you call the office tomorrow, call 3ABN tomorrow?" I wasn't sure who it was and didn't know how he got my phone number. And he said, well, if you would rather us call back tomorrow, he said, then we will. And then I heard this voice, and he said, he said to me, "I'm Ambassador Ben Tejano from the Philippines to New Guinea, and I'm here with the president of the country of New Guinea, And the president said, "Well, Mr. Shelton, I'm sorry to bother you. We'll call back. I'll call back another day." I said, "Mr. President, I'm wide awake." I said, "Your servant heareth you. And what is it that you would do the honor of calling me?" And so it was, of course, their time, daytime. And so he said to me, "I want you to come to New Guinea and build a 3ABN television station that will reach the entire country." Wow, when a president of a country says that, that's pretty neat, right? So he gave me his background. He said, "I was raised Catholic. I'm Catholic, but my parents made the mistake of sending me to an Adventist school. And so I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian." And he said, "I want 3ABN to come to New Guinea," this is around the year 2000, "and build a television station here, a whole network that'll reach the country. But as president, I can't get too much involved, but I know people and I can talk to people and I have some influence, but the rest of it you'll have to do. I just want you to come because we only have three channels. We have our own channel. We have, for the whole country, they had three channels, television channels. There's an Australian channel, we have one, and there's one government channel that we're going to open up to a foreign country, a foreign broadcasting network, and I would like it to be you." And I said, "How soon should I come?" He said, "I need you to come right away and come here because I don't want anyone else getting this station before you apply for it." So I said, "All right, we'll do it." Next morning, I made arrangements to go, and within a couple days, that evening, one of the pastors, 3ABN pastors, called, and he said, "Turn on Trinity Broadcasting Network." He said, "Paul Crouch is on with Benny Hinn." Anybody ever hear Benny Hinn? Paul Crouch, several of you did. So he said, "Paul Crouch is on with Benny Hinn, and Benny Hinn has a message. He's just been to New Guinea, and the prime minister, he's telling Paul Crouch, they're raising money to build a television station, a network in New Guinea, because there's only one station available, and the prime minister has asked TBN to build that station." So I said, "Oh, wow, I don't want to go to all the way to New Guinea if this is what's happening." So I decided, I said, "I'm going to call the ambassador." He gave me his number, and somebody, Mae Chung, in fact, was with me, and she said, "Well, what time is it in there?" I said, "We don't care." Right? Doesn't make any difference. They call me at midnight. We don't care what time it is. We got a call. So I called the ambassador and I said, "Ambassador, I just was told, I watched TBN last night and Benny Hinn was telling Paul Crouch that the prime minister has asked that they come over and get this only channel available to put the TBN network on." And he said, "Well, this is true. But the president wants you, the governor general, the president wants you, but the prime minister wants Benny Hinn and TBN to be on. But please come anyway." He said, "Please come because we still want you here and the Lord will work this out." So I said, "Okay." We prayed about it. "Lord, if it's your will for us to have this station, you'll have to work it out. If it had to do with money, we don't have near the money that TBN does. They have more money. We don't even raise the tithe money that those folks have. I mean, they look at tremendous amounts of money coming in. I think a couple years ago I read it was $175 million. We're like $12, $15 million at most. So if it's money they wanted, I said, "Uh-oh, we're going to be in trouble because we don't have the money. But Lord, you've said go into all the world." So I got on a flight, flew out to L.A. From L.A., flew to Sydney. Sydney, I flew to Brisbane, Australia, and when I got out off of the airplane, I was going to get a plane to Papua New Guinea, and as I was walking along, I saw a newspaper. It had a picture of somebody in big letters, literally big letters at the top. It caught my eye: "Prime Minister of New Guinea removed from office today." I said, "Well, I don't want to wish anybody bad." Right? I didn't do it. Prime Minister of New Guinea removed from office today. He had got into some whatever, which I didn't know. So when I showed up Moses Primo and Mae Chung, one of my board members, went with us when we showed up to meet with the government officials. We were the only ones there. TBN, no one else was there to apply for this channel. So when we stayed a couple days, and I went with the president to church, and we went in his motorcade, and he had me speak at the church, and we went to the palace, and he had a vegetarian meal for us there. And so he went around and let everybody know that he supported the folks who wanted that channel. So he said, now you'll have to meet with the people that when you come into the country, they decide what foreign businesses can do, you do business with or not. So we went in, and the first guy came in, and he was in charge there. And so we talked to him, and he said, well, we can meet with you, but it's going to take a couple days. Can you wait a couple days? And I said, well, really, I can't. I said, I really need to go back. I've got some things pressing in America. So Moses Primo said, well, maybe Danny could tell you, our president of 3ABN could tell you a little about our network, then I'll stay here and do the paperwork. And he said, oh, I know about your network. I was in church Sabbath. I heard him speak. And we said, are you Seventh-day Adventist? He said, yes. And so his assistant came in, and he said, oh, I heard you speak at the other church, because I'm an Adventist too. So here I said, this is not going too bad so far, right? So we end up making our ways through the government. But here's what happened. The president told me this story, and I have it on videotape, because he came to 3ABN and I interviewed him. He said that many years ago, he was part of the government. It would be like one of our congressmen. And he was part of the government. And in 1987, 86 or 87, he ran for president. And he was just sure that he would win, but he lost. He was so depressed because he felt like the Lord said, I'm going to have you be president or Governor General of New Guinea. But he lost. So he said, I went back to my home country, or to my home area in the hills, they call it, in the mountain areas. And he said, a little Adventist pastor came and prayed with me. When he prayed with me, it was like he went into vision. He acted like he didn't even know I was around. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And pretty soon when he came out, he said, don't worry about it. God is in charge. 13 years from now, you will be Governor General of New Guinea. He said, what? He said, 13 years from now, you will be Governor General of New Guinea. 13 years? How do you know that? The Lord impressed me that. 13 years later, he ran for president around 2000, ran for president. He told everybody, I'm packing my things. I'm going to the Capitol because I'm going to be staying there because I'm president. I'm going to be president. The Lord told me 13 years ago through this Adventist pastor I would be president of New Guinea. And what we call president, they call their governor general of New Guinea. So they do it differently. They're British, so they do it differently than ours. But they had four or five people that were in the running. And all during the day, people would listen to the radio and they would disqualify this one. Got down to three people, and all of a sudden, Silas Ida Pirie's his name, they removed him from one of the people. There was only two people left, and now he's out. So everybody came to him, and they said, Silas, you said that the Lord said you were going to be president. You were going to be president of New Guinea in 13 years. This is the 13-year election. It's 13 years from now, and you've been disqualified. You've been removed. And so what is going on? What do you have to say? You know what he said? The day's not over. Right? The day's not over. Sure enough, as the day went on, someone else was disqualified. Then it was a vote by the entire parliament and Congress and their parliament. They voted. And he became president, governor general of New Guinea in 2000. Now, what's the significance of this? I want to talk to you about, I talked to you a little bit about last night about coincidence or divine providence, didn't I? talked to you all about there. Remember that? I don't believe in coincidence. I only believe in divine providence. So what's the significance of him being the governor general in 2000 versus 1987? I will tell you, because it wasn't until the year 2000 at the general conference session, I believe it was in Canada at that time, that 3ABN for the first time went to three different satellites with the help of a fourth satellite, was able to go completely around the world 24/7. Had he been governor general in 1987 when he wanted to be, it was impossible. Technically, we couldn't have reached New Guinea. Now in the year 2000, when he's the governor general, 3ABN got the license for the stations, and to this day is still proclaiming the gospel, and thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. So see, sometimes when we think God's timing is off, it's not his timing's off. We may be off a little bit, maybe our hopes and desires, but you got to, is that amazing to you? Because the year he became governor general was the year for the first time 3ABN went around the world. I didn't know 3ABN was the first network on earth to do 24/7 around the world. And it reminded me, we were on three satellites and we had to get the aid of a fourth satellite, really uplink in Jerusalem. It came down, went up, and sent it on over to New Guinea. And it reminded me of the three angels flying in the midst of heaven. So what I'm about to say to you now is a thus saith Danny, not necessarily a thus saith the Lord, but something to think about. What is an angel? It's a messenger. That's all it is. An angel is a messenger. Three angels' messages in Revelation 18 says, and a fourth angel helped the three, right? And the earth was lightened with the glory of God. I think that John the Revelator, when he looked up, saw satellites in the midst of heaven. Hey, they even have wings, right? If you look at them, it looks like they have wings. I think John the Revelator didn't know how to say satellite, so he saw messengers, because how else can you get the gospel in southern Illinois, in little cornfields? When I say hello and welcome to 3ABN, that satellite signal goes 22,300 miles to space, completely around planet Earth, down into the homes of hundreds of millions of people worldwide in a split second, maybe 3 seconds. That's amazing. Three angels flying in the midst of heaven. I believe that God is using all technology available. See, television wasn't created for HBO and all those channels. It was created to get the gospel to the world. You know why? Because you and me didn't do our part. If we'd have done our part word of mouth, he wouldn't have had to have it. But since we're not doing it, heaven is not heaven, as I mentioned last night, till God's children are home. So he wants to come back. He's waiting to come back. So he's given us tremendous technology that can literally, we can now speak and the gospel goes around the world. So what an incredible miracle that just the time that technology was available, we were able to go to New Guinea. We got the station. The other network didn't get it. We're still on there today. Now, the ambassador from the Philippines was so excited that he called me about a year later. Brother Danny, there's going to be a government channel open up in Manila. Metro Manila is the third largest city in the world. Metro Manila is 23 million people. I mean, that's New York and Chicago put together. And Metro Manila, 23 million people. And he said, Brother Danny, they're opening one channel for a foreign company, just like they did in New Guinea. And we want 3ABN on. Would you come and apply for this station? And I said, absolutely. That's incredible. I said, now, how many people are applying for this one? He said, well, don't worry about it too much. If the Lord wants you, and he'll provide. And I said, well, Ambassador, I'd like to know how many people's applying. Well, there's quite a few, he said. And I said, well, can you give me some idea how many? And he said, well, actually, there's 4,200 applicants. And I said, one of the religious networks, Pat Robertson at the time, I think it offered 15 million. That's just for the construction permit. ABC had offered more than that. There was millions and millions of dollars being offered just to get that channel for their FCC to give it to them. So he said, Brother Danny, do you have that kind of money? I said, no, sir, not even in my dreams. And he said, well, I know the Lord wants you to have this channel, but, you know, you would have to have a considerable amount of money to just be in the bidding, in the auction, because they're going to bid. And I said, we don't have any money for that, but I do believe the Lord said go into all the world. So I said, Ambassador, let me ask you something. Do you know the president very well? He said, of course, he appointed me. He handpicked me to be his ambassador. And I said, okay, can you get an audience with him? Yes. What do you want me to say? I said, I want you to talk to the ambassador, or talk to the president, President Joseph Estrada at the time. I said, I want you to talk to the Philippine president and tell him that he should give this construction permit to 3ABN. And he said, why would he do that? And I said, because that $15 million, that's small potatoes. That's a small amount. I said, if he puts on 3ABN, tell him that crime, if people watch 3ABN, the crime rates will go down tremendously in the Philippines. If he puts on 3ABN, people getting killed by drunk drivers will go down tremendously. His health care cost, if people watch 3ABN and listen to it, could go down, save his country hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Amen. Oh, well, that sounds good, he said, but I don't think I can do that. I said, why not? Well, I don't know if I could go to him and say that. I said, Ambassador, I said, I'm a reasonable man. I said, let's talk about this. What's the worst thing that would happen to you if you'll go ask him? I said, you know you're a modern-day Daniel. You're a modern-day Joseph. God has put you there for such an hour as this. And so I said, you know you are. Yes, I know that. I said, well, what's the worst thing that will happen to you if you go tell him this? Well, I don't know. What do you mean? I said, well, will he slap your wife or something? No, he won't slap my wife. I said, well, will he put you in jail? No, he won't put me in jail. I said, will he shoot you? No, he won't shoot me. I said, then nothing bad's going to happen, right? So he said, well, I guess not. I said, you pray about it, and you get an audience with President Estrada and tell him that he should give, you recommend, this broadcasting license to 3ABN. We don't have any money to do it, but it shouldn't be about money, that he should do it because that's what the Lord wants him to do. So he said, well, I will try. 3 weeks later, he called me. Brother Danny, you won't believe it. I have it in my office. I took him your application. I told him that if people watch 3ABN, it's the greatest station on earth, that the health care cost of the nation should go down hundreds of millions of dollars. I told him less people killed by drunk driving, less people on drugs. And I told him if they watch 3ABN and listen to it, all this would happen, the greatest channel in the world. And he said, where is this channel? He said, in America. He said, the president said, they have good channels in America? He said, yes, they do. 3ABN, have you seen this channel? The ambassador says, I get it here in the Philippines by satellite. I watch it every day. My wife's a doctor. We watch it. We learn so much from it. My family's learned from it. This is a great channel. The president, Estrada, wrote in the right-hand corner of our construction permit to their FCC, release this station immediately to 3ABN. Now, come on. Is that coincidence or divine providence? To this day, 10 or 12 years later, 3ABN is still reaching millions and millions of homes. The ambassador, if any of you have seen him on 3ABN, he says that thousands have come to the Lord and joined the church in New Guinea, and thousands, they've had to actually build new churches throughout the Philippines. We have 5 other stations there too, also broadcasting literally to millions and millions and millions of people. See, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He counted his resources in advance and found that he's not wanting. And when he tells you to do something, God is going to supply how much of you need? All of your need according to his riches and glory. The worst thing that you and I can do is get in God's way. When he tells us to do something, the worst thing we can do is get in his way. And you know how we do that? Because we try to figure it out. Well, let's see. Well, churches, I've been to churches. They'll say, well, you know, we want to have an evangelistic series. We haven't had one in 10 years, but we figured it up, and it's going to cost nearly $15,000 to do a month to bring an evangelist in here, and we just don't have the money. And I say, if you're waiting for the money, you'll never get it. You think the devil's going to allow that to happen? Faith is not faith. Faith, let me say this to you. Let's word it this way. See if this makes sense. Your faith doesn't even begin until your sight ends. Amen. I'm going to say that one more time. Your faith doesn't even begin until your sight ends. Because if you can see it and you can do it, it's not necessarily God. So when Jesus says, go ye into all the world. So churches, and I can, this my, and I'm leaving here right after this sermon. I'm starting to head back to Southern Illinois, so I'm going to let it all out, right, tonight. And you all can be mad at me if you want to. But shame on you, on churches that do not hold evangelistic series because you don't have the funds. Because this is not about funds. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world, he is going to provide your every need. I like the brother here. He's going around with I felt so badly for him, I put $20 in his pocket, right? Here, I said, I'm going to put some money in there. Somebody, you know why? Jesus said, go. And what's he doing? He's walking around. He's not saying much. He just kind of looks at you like this. If he does it again, I'll give him another 20 because he puts you on a guilt trip. It's like when the kids come and take up their little offering and they got the little church, right? And they come, my grandson is one of the worst at this. He will walk down the aisle, because you just, after children's story, you only got a couple minutes, right? And they'll come by at their boxes. He will go to everybody. He'll show them the box, and a lot of times you just don't have change, right? In your pocket, he'll just look at them. Everybody in the church knows you're not giving anything. So they start reaching over here to the wife or somebody here. Can I loan a dollar? Loan me a dollar. I said, this kid can raise money. He is not about to turn. See, the blessing is on the go, even when you're little bitty. So here, the blessing is on the go. When the Lord impresses you to do something, you can do it. This is about, so it's not about money. I want to tell you that. If it were about money, 3ABN would have closed down a long time ago. Do you have any idea how, any idea, and most of you won't. Some of you may have businesses bigger, but the responsibility of knowing that we need about $1.5 million every month just to keep our head above the water. And we don't get money, as I mentioned, from the church. We're dependent on what you all do. And I'm amazed that year after year, somehow God does it. We can be down to the point where we have no money. There's no way. We don't know what we're going to do. Some time ago, it's been a few years ago, we literally have never been, we've always paid the satellite bills, but we needed $90,000 to pay two of the satellites out of the several. $90,000, we literally were at the last day. I've always said, don't worry about it, the Lord will provide the needs, it's no big deal. So that morning I was getting ready to go do an interview, and so I told the folk, when the mail comes in, let me know when that $90,000 comes in, because I know it's going to, because we don't have any money. We would actually be shut off of over half the world, our signal, if that $90,000 doesn't come in today. So I know it's going to come in. No big deal. God's going to supply. I've seen it over and over. God's going to supply the needs. I do my program, run out, go into accounting, and I say, tell me about the money. They said, we only had like $8,000. And I said, what? They said, only $8,000. I said, wow, I never had that happen before. We would have to get the money and wire it that afternoon because they'd given us 30 days grace. And they said, if we don't have the money this afternoon, we have to shut it down. And I said, man, I don't know. It took me off guard. I'm so used to stepping out in faith and God always supplying that need that I didn't really know how to respond. So I was sitting there, and I was looking at the accountant, and I said, that's it. She said, no, $8,000. I said, wow, we're short. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to have to pray about it. And I looked on her desk, and I saw one envelope. And I said, what's that? And she said, oh, I don't know. That's something certified mail. I said, did you open it? She said, no, we hadn't opened it. I said, who's it to? She said, you. And I said, well, you mind if I look at it? She said, no, you can look at it. Nobody told me about it. I opened it up, and with my hand up, guess how much it was for? $90,000. Somebody sent $90,000. Now, is that coincidence or divine providence? God supplies all our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But I have to tell you, He does it when you're faithful to the message. You see, the messenger is not important. I'm not important, and you're not important, frankly, when it comes to get the gospel of the world. God can do without us, and He will, should He tarry long enough. Our greatest evangelist in this church, the founders of this church, and Ellen White, they're all resting in Jesus, right? That's going to happen to you and me tonight, tomorrow, next year, or a few years, should the Lord tarry. But the message is what's important. God has given us as a church and a people present truth to give to the world. I mentioned last night, God has people in all churches, but He's always had people that have present truth to give to the world. The three angels' messages is present truth for the world today that the world has to hear. And He's going to hear it through Seventh-day Adventist people because we're the only ones preaching it right now. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? New people are coming in, and I'm praise the Lord for that. Thousands of people are coming in to this church. In fact, millions. This church is growing by leaps and bounds. But what a shame if those of us who've been born and raised in this miss out on eternity because we didn't take the gospel commission seriously to sacrifice to go ye into all the world. So I'm going to do something tonight I don't normally do. I keep seeing pictures of that tractor. That tractor may seem like it's a tractor, but it's not. It's much more than a tractor. That tractor represents something. It represents how much do you care about this campground, about this church, and about the mission God has given you to do. You know what? That getting that hay done, getting these buildings in shape, are just as important as anything else we might do with the money. Now, some of you don't agree with that, but we're all members, and it takes as the body. I don't need to go through Corinthians with you, the Bible, right? But as the body has members, hands and arms and legs and feet, that's what we are. So I think and I believe that if you all are focused on this, he needs $25,000. I believe he'll get $25,000 by the time this camp meeting's over. And guess what? It's going to be through you. Yeah, I got two amens on that one. Notice how things go. I heard this preacher once, a Sunday preacher. He got up and he said, praise the Lord. He was on television. He said they had big building fund. They were remodeling. It was millions of dollars, mega church. Praise the Lord. We got all the money we need. Everybody said, praise the Lord. The Pentecostals, you know, praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Anybody happy? People stood up and began shouting. We got all the money we need. Praise the Lord. He said, great. You know what? Problem is, it's in your pockets. They got quiet and sat back down, right? So now when we're talking about that tractor, when we're talking about needs, that we got all the money we need, it's just in your pockets. So I'm gonna put in, and he didn't ask me to do this, but what's important is our focus. What are we focusing on? Our focus is on souls. It's good to come and have camp meeting. It's good to be here. It's good to get together. But just for the fun of camping, we could do that anywhere, right? There's beautiful places. But you're here for more than just camping tonight. You're here to draw close together to one another, to see what you can do. A small group like this, look what you can do. Jesus had 12 disciples, and this gospel's finally getting to all the world. We don't have that much time. Jesus is coming back, ready or not. And what is it that we're going to do? When you say, Lord, I'm going to do what you ask me to do, I promise you, God will supply your every need. He's a miracle-working God who's in the business of creating one miracle after another after another. People say, well, I tell people, well, Jesus can do this without us. Well, if so, why does he tell us to go to all the world? Do you know why he tells us to go to all the world? For our own salvation. If I get selfish and I'm worried about me, myself, and I'm not going to heaven. So he allows us as frail human agents to be used as vessels of honor so that for our own salvation. But when we don't do our job, God will do the job. I can tell you story after story after story of people with their satellite dishes or television channels that they could get nothing else but 3ABN. One man in Kentucky said that he turned on, was watching the Super Bowl, and he loved the Super Bowl. He lived for the Super Bowl. That's the greatest time of the year. Halfway through, he had a satellite dish. Halfway through the Super Bowl, the satellite went out. I don't know if it's bad weather, what happened. Something went out. He was so upset, he had to go to the radio and listen to the rest of the game. So the next day, he told his wife, honey, because he wrote me a letter. I read this letter. Told my wife, get the satellite guy out here. Get this thing fixed. I'm a couch potato. I'm a construction man. When I get home at night, I lean back in my recliner. I have a six-pack of beer beside me, and I smoke at least a pack that night of cigarettes, and I watch all the sports I can. I'm a couch potato. I love it. So his wife calls the satellite company. They live way out in the country, and she says, honey, it's going to be at least a week or more, maybe two. Oh, I can't wait that long. Somebody, isn't there anybody? No, he's the only guy we can get to come and look at it right now. I've tried two or three different people. They're either too far away. They can't make it. So he said, what do? I come home in the evening, habit, creature. I turn on my television. The only thing I can get pops on my TV. My satellite's supposed to be broke, right? Broken. Only thing I can get is 3ABN. So I sat back in my chair. I'm smoking. I make fun of the preacher's hairs and how little hair they got. Make fun of the women, how they look. I make fun of everything I can think of, but I got to do something because the only channel I'm getting is 3ABN. So night after night, I come home, honey, you got to get this thing fixed. Finally, the day arrives. He's so happy. The guy comes to fix his television. He comes home. Honey, did he get the satellite fixed? Did the guy come? Yes, he did. Great. No, bad news, honey. There's a cylinder burnout, and it's going to take him about 2 more weeks to get it. He has to order one. So at the end of this, about 4 weeks, he said, thank the Lord that he loved me enough to allow me to watch 3ABN. I'm now giving my life to Jesus. Amen. Now, nobody did that. God did that. Had a man who called me. When these people write, I like to talk to them, hear their stories. And he called me. Lived out in the country, I think it was Tennessee, and he said, I started watching 3ABN, and I watched it for weeks, and I decided, I think I want to be a Christian, I want to be a Seventh-day Adventist, so I'm going to look up a Seventh-day Adventist church in the Yellow Pages. He wasn't on the internet, so he said, I looked in the Yellow Pages, I didn't see any Seventh-day Adventist churches advertised, so I didn't know what to do. So he says, I take pride in my yard. I live out in the country, and I have a little driveway, and I put signs up there, do not enter, private property, no trespassing, because people invariably will turn down my road. I have a little cul-de-sac, and he said, I put flowers all around it, and people will end up getting in that and messing up my yard. So my pet peeve is when I hear some car engine or car coming in my driveway, and it's somebody says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see your sign. I say, why not? It says, do not enter. No trespassing, you know, all these things. And why did, well, I wasn't paying attention. So he said, finally, I said, well, Lord, if you want me to find an Adventist church, you're going to have to send somebody to me. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to find one, but I'm going to pray. So he said, I knelt down to pray. And I've never really prayed, but I said, well, God, if you're listening to me, you need to direct me to a Seventh-day Adventist church because that's what I want to go to. And he said, I heard a motor. But it wasn't a car. It sounded like a big truck. And I said, oh, no. There is not room to turn around. Somebody's going to mess up. I am giving. Excuse me, Lord. He said, I'm sorry. I've got to go take care of this business. So he said, I didn't know how you're supposed to talk to God. I hadn't done it, but I'm not. I can tell this is a truck. It had a big motor. So he said, I ran over to the window. I threw open the curtains. And sure enough, it was a truck way too big to be in my driveway, but on the side of it said Seventh-day Adventist Community Services. He said, I ran outside, and the driver got out, and he said, sir, I am so sorry. That's all right. I just want to know, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Yes, sir. Can you tell me where the nearest Seventh-day Adventist church is? Well, it's about 40 miles from here. That's all I need to know. And the driver said, man, I'm sorry, but you didn't have a sign. There's nothing out there. He says, no, there's three signs out there. I have three. No passing, no trespassing, do not enter, keep out. I have all those signs up, but I think the angel blinded the driver's eyes, don't you? So he came on, and the guy said, I helped him through, and we got around. And see, if we don't do our work, the Lord will do it. But these people got to be reached. They have to be reached, and we have to give them a message. So my encouragement to you tonight, and I'm winding down now, is that the message is so important because we have something that no one else has to give to the world. But yet, our church is becoming diluted. We are letting things come in. I won't get all on it tonight, but you heard me talking about it, same-sex marriage. We have some of our colleges and universities. I've talked to the students who say, we have Friday night gay and lesbian club vespers. They have theirs over to themselves. These are at our colleges and our campuses. I talk to students, it says the most popular kids on campus are those who say they're gay and lesbian. Brenda Walsh of Kids Time said, one little girl said, I really got to talk to you, Miss Brenda. I'm really not a lesbian, but I want to be popular. And she goes to one of our schools. But it seems like everybody, these gay and lesbians, everybody wants to make them so welcome that they're the most popular kids. Would it be wrong for me to act like I'm? And she said, oh, mine, don't ever do that. But what's happened is this thing is coming in our church by leaps and bounds, and it's not going to stop unless you and me stand up and talk about it. We have to say, the Bible says we believe as Seventh-day Adventists we keep all 10 commandments, right? And so we don't make exceptions for the others. None of us are perfect. I said that today. We're not pointing fingers at people, but we have to have standards. And those standards are that you can't let those go down. See, it's the same thing that happened when same-sex marriage, when it became law of the land during the Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton's the one who championed those things. Well, people said, but there's always been homosexuals. I mean, you can go back to Bible times. I said, yes, there has. But the difference is when the United States of America enacts, it's the same as enacting a national Sunday law because God only made two institutions at creation. He made the Sabbath and what? Marriage. Whichever one of these laws you trample on as a nation, that nation's going to fall. And so to me, we keep waiting for a national Sunday law, but I said, this is just as big. The fact that the government of the United States that represents we the people says to God that we are literally slapping you in the face, we're making same-sex marriage law of the land would be no more damaging than if they made a Sunday law because in either way, you're rejecting God. That may be, probably said too much already. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. I know that I am. I've been through this. I've talked to people about it over and over that don't get it. They don't get it. Well, it's not that big a deal. It is that big a deal. Now, if we as a church do the same thing, what's going to happen to us? The same thing. We're going to fall, and the church is going to be much smaller than what we originally intended. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be very few of us because our silence, we're going to be judged by our silence by God. So we have standards as a church, as a people. If we keep that message straight down the line, don't go left to the right. I mean, I have people that I tell people, Adventist, we're going to, many of us miss out of heaven on account of the four L's. I call it the letter L. There's legalism, liberalism, lazyism, and loose tongueism. And there's probably some other things that keep us distracted from staying on focus to the message. The message is that Jesus loves us. He died for us. He made a plan of salvation for us. He's coming back very soon in the clouds of glory for those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So Seventh-day Adventists are the one preaching that end times message for an end times people. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. But I've had people come to my house and go look in my cabinets and read labels to make sure I'm a Christian. Well, let's see. Do you eat? You don't eat this? No, I'm telling you the truth. I don't let them in anymore just for that, right? Y'all come to visit me and want to read my cans of my food and see what it's like. So I'm a little more I do more vetting now, all right? I do more vetting. Somebody said about vetting in the country, and this is terrible about vetting. I said, don't get into the politics because Adventists getting on. This is a shame. And some of them say, well, we got to keep all these refugees out. And others saying, this is not Christian. We got to let them all in. Vetting is wrong. I said, don't get into arguing on Facebook and all these things. Get caught up. We have a message to give. Now, all I said to somebody is, well, let me ask you something. Do you have locks on your doors? They said, yes. I said, then you believe in vetting. Hello? Somebody get me? If you've got locks on your doors, don't be complaining about somebody vetting, because, and there's homeless people all around. I asked one lady, do you let those people into your house around your kids anytime just without vetting them? Of course you should vet them. But for as politics goes and this country goes, somebody said to me, oh, this is terrible. Donald Trump got in. He's going to bring about the National Sunday Law. And I said, so what? What if he did? Are we upset about that? Not really, right? Some of you are hesitant. Think about it. We don't care. We just know it's going to happen. If it doesn't, we're going to have to look at some new theology, because we've been told there's a National Sunday Law coming. So it doesn't make any difference who is used to do it. The other hand is, I tell people, look, God sets up the kings and presidents. Had Hillary got in, you can go to the YouTube and look up Hillary Clinton's 2015, April 15, 2015 speech. She says, when I get in, religious organizations will have to set aside their age-old theology to accept the gay and lesbian community and the abortion rights. So I said to them, Hillary's over here going to make it that if we have pastors who are or church members, teachers, whatever, who say they're gay, we can't let them go, because she's going to make it against the law. If Donald gets in, Mr. President Trump, at that time, Donald Trump, if he gets in, well, he might, some of the folk on the other side, well, he may pass the National Sunday Law. And I said, we don't have to worry about all of that. Whichever one got in, it doesn't make any difference. Don't waste all of our time fighting each other and arguing about it. There's nobody that's sitting in here that's in the office that God's not aware of, and it's in His timing. And nobody's perfect, and everybody's going to make mistakes. But what happened when we made same-sex marriage law of the land, that's when the Holy Spirit's begun to withdraw its spirit. We're going to see times get worse and worse and worse. That's when Seventh-day Adventist Christians should be coming together more and more and more, because now we have an answer for this world's problems. Quit worrying about politics. Quit fighting about all that stuff, is my advice to you all as I'm leaving here. And so not worrying that way I'm out of your reach. Nobody can slap me or hit me as I'm leaving here. So let's focus on God's business. Let's make an agreement that we're going to meet in heaven. Anybody want to do that? Let's meet in heaven and be willing to stand up for truth, because I believe many, many souls, yea, maybe thousands, possibly millions of people who have light will be lost because they're silence. We have to be bold enough in Christ to stand up and take whatever comes. It's not popular. What I'm talking about is not popular. I've had death threats. 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, somebody came to 3ABN in camouflage, walked in behind one of our folks, and came in and asked for me. And when the lady out front said, well, I'll have to call his office, I was in a meeting with Molly and Brian. We heard screaming and carrying on. A guy came and said, the Lord told him to come and kill me. That's not the first time. The Lord told him, come and kill me. Some of our guys got him outside, and he was shooting us without a gun. He went to his car, thought he had a gun, but was shooting, trying to shoot us, and was saying crazy things, the mark of the beast and all of this stuff, but he was supposed to kill me. He looked at me and said, he's the one I'm to kill. Gabriel, you want me to kill him? He was talking crazy things. Police came and got him, put him in jail. And 4 weeks later, he sent me $500, love gift, with my hand up. Now, don't ask me about it. They said, did you keep it? I said, absolutely. We put that in the bank. We don't care where that comes from, right? Maybe he got convicted about it, but we didn't press charges on him. We let him go. But I had another man who came down a few years ago, called me, got a hold of me, and he said, the Lord's told me that you and me are to die. I'm going to kill you. I said, why? He said, I don't know. I just do what the Lord tells me to do. So he came. We found out he ran out of gas. We ended up calling. My sister-in-law answered, wanted to know if I was there. She said, no. And he said, well, I'm walking on my way there because he and I die today. We called the police. The police found him halfway between Benton and West Frankfort, and he had a knife on him this long. When they arrested him, he said, you can't do this yet. Don't you understand? Danny Shelton has to die today. Danny Shelton has to. Once I kill him, then you can arrest me. You see, when demons get involved, folks, all sorts of things can happen. But you know, I'm not worried about it. I don't worry about it. I say, I'm not going to lose any sleep. Why am I going to let somebody offend me, right? I'm not going to lose any sleep going to nights, and I wonder if some other nut is wanting to kill me. I expect that people aren't going to be happy with 3ABN and the message that we teach. You should expect people aren't going to be, everybody's not going to like you. It's nice to be loved. That'd be nice if everybody liked me, but they don't. But I can't say I don't care less, but I don't care enough to change or to become politically correct. I'm too old for that. So I feel like God has called us to do something. It's my prayer tonight, each and every one of us, before you leave this camp meeting, will recommit your life to Jesus, your focus, and what it is that you can do. I have this new book that we're giving absolutely free. I saw one here. If you didn't get one already, there's several boxes back here during the camp meeting. If any of you read this and you want to give it out, your churches, we'll send you 500. We'll send you 1,000. Won't cost you anything but the shipping. 100 books costs $18.50 no matter where you live in the States. I mean, that's 18 cents a piece, so it's not a money deal. This is a message that we feel like needs to be told. We cover a lot of the topics I've talked about, so it's not popular even within the church. It's called Spiritual Vigilantes, but we have some here at camp. But if you want them, when you get back to your home, whatever you want to do, you call 3ABN and say, such and such church, I'm the elder, I'm the deacon, or whatever I am, we want 500 of those or 1,000. We'll send them to you because this message has to get into all the world. And maybe that's what some of you can do. Some of you aren't able to get out and to do that. Some give finances. Others can go out, or the legs and the arms and the feet. So let's work together to take this gospel into all the world. Let's pray for Elder Ted Wilson, for our leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I would not want his job. Absolutely, I'm thankful, saying, Lord, I'm glad you didn't call me to do that. I wouldn't have lasted very long. Somebody would have hung me or shot me, probably. But thank the Lord we have a leader who's committed to keeping the message an undiluted three angels message, one that would counteract the counterfeit, and who's willing to stand up against what the devil has to throw at us as a church and a people. So what you want to do tonight, if you have aught against your neighbors, your brothers, your sister, you want to ask forgiveness. That's the first thing you do. Then you want to ask God forgiveness for anything in your life that's keeping you from hearing his voice. Then ask him for wisdom and courage. Why was I created? Why am I here? I promise you, God will talk to you. He'll tell you exactly why you're here in the closing moments of Earth's history. I look forward, whether I'm raised from the sleeping, one of those sleeping, to see Jesus, or whether I'm one of those standing up saying, lo, this is our God whom we've waited for. He has come to save us. It's my hope and prayer that each and every one of you, it's your heart's desire to see Jesus and him crucified. Let's say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for your love. And Lord, I know I'm talking fast, and my words are jumbled up, and I'm jumping here to there. But again, I pray a miracle that you would let each person hear what they need to hear. Not hear my words, but hear the words of the Holy Spirit as you speak to each of us to what we should do to draw closer to you. The song says, whatever it takes for our will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes for my will to break, Lord, that's what I want to be willing to do. That's my prayer for each and everyone here, this great camp meeting in West Virginia. I pray that you'll continue to lead, guide, and direct on the speakers that are coming here the rest of this week. We pray for that money, for that tractor, for whatever this camp needs. You will impress upon the hearts of people tonight who never dreamed they'd be walking around with checks or dollars, putting it in the pockets of this brother who's so faithful of doing his part. Just simply, go ye. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for your plan of salvation. And thank you that you're coming back very soon in the clouds of glory, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.